From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Good morning. Good afternoon. It's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and with me is Phil Conlon. How are you doing, Phil? Oh, you're waiting for me to say classical underground.
Yeah, you could say that, but that's nice. I'm glad to be here. I was away for a week at the film festival. So
we all knew that. And you grew a beard while you were there.
Yeah.
You look like Rip Van Winkle.
You know, that's an American reference. I hope our audience knows who Rip Van Winkle is.
Oh, they definitely do.
No, we're not being cultural imperialists
here.
American
books are required reading in Canada. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, most of them. Well, today, we will be talking about a topic which is now number one, number two item in the news in North America, which is United Auto Workers strike. Of the big three, it's a precedent. It has not happened, actually, I think, in the history of the union. Certainly, 80 years, I think, is the date they set. And where all three of the big automakers are now being targeted. It's a special strategy. And, of course, we're going to be asking Tony Leo, who is a labor historian, advocate, activist, a bunch of words here. He's also Unifor. He is an auto worker, and from the General Motors local, which is the most famous auto workers local in Canada, played a big part in the overall organizing of the Canadian working class in the 1930s, which was everybody agrees, historic moment for labor in North America. Oshawa was right at the center of that, but Tony is going to be talking about the strategy not only of the United Auto Workers, but of the of Unifor, which used to be the Canadian Auto Workers, who once upon a time were also the United Auto Workers. I think the goal of the Taylor Report is to unite the auto workers. Phil, we have an announcement, though. There's an event coming up in... It's a webinar.
So. It's a webinar. It's on Wednesday night, September 20th at 6 p.m. And it is called Cluster Bombs and Depleted Uranium Weapons in Ukraine. Two More Reasons to End the War Now. And it has some excellent speakers. Dimitri Lascaris, Mary Ann Grady Flores, a peace activist based in upstate New York, who has testified at the United Nations seven times on depleted uranium testing by U.S. armed forces in Puerto Rico. Glenn Michalchuk, national president of the Association of United Ukrainian Canadians, chair of the Peace Alliance Winnipeg, and of course Dimitri Lascaris is well known to our listeners. We've had him on our show, I believe, and we've talked about his trips to...
How can people take that in?
So that will be at tinyurl.com/20 SEPT webinar. So 20 SEPT webinar, and that's tinyurl.com and then /20 September webinar. Yeah.
Bless your hearts, listeners. If you can do that, my guess is if they went to the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, it's probably available. The link would probably be there, or at least the information, so that you can read it.
And it also references the peaceandjusticenetwork.ca. And that's easy.
Peace and justice.
You can't be confused because nobody in the government is talking about peace or justice. So peaceandjustice.ca.
And it's Wednesday?
Wednesday at 6 p.m.
6 p.m.?
Yes.
Yeah, Dimitri Lascaris, we had him on the show, was in Russia on a people-to-people sort of effort to demonstrate that a resolution of the conflict is possible. The rhetoric we get from Ottawa and Washington is that, of course, there's no talking. You cannot talk. There's nothing to talk about. And Dimitri, being a rational person, knows that you have to be able to talk because the other choice is lethal. And so he has made an important contribution. On this show, we spoke to Rick Sterling, I think it was maybe 2 weeks back, and we were taking up this matter of cluster bombs. And for our part, we want to say clearly, it's a Canadian government said it's a illegal weapon. It is because it is basically a threat to civilians. Its main use will inevitably be damaging, and it, therefore, it would be criminal to use it. And by the way, spokesperson at the White House had one year ago, said it'd be criminal. Now they are using it. And so we spoke to Sterling, Rick Sterling, about that. A very important issue to be clear about. If Canada sincerely, and what else could they be, say that it is a weapon that Canada believes should be banned, they have to say that loudly and clearly to the U.S., which is the party that is introducing the weapon. It's one thing to say that the president of Ukraine wanted the weapon. They could say, yes, but that's not a reason to give it to him, particularly if you think it's an illegal and criminal weapon, which the United States did say. So where is the NDP? Where is the Bloc? Where is the Green Party? And the Liberal government, which itself said it was a criminal weapon. Years ago on this show, and of course around the world, whenever he spoke, Ramsey Clark said, you want to help the United States, stand up and speak honestly to the U.S. about what it is doing. Don't just go along. That's not being a friend. It's like having a friend who's been drinking. And he'd say, well, he wants to get in his favorite race car and, you know, his Ferrari and go home. You don't say, he's my friend, he can do that. What you say is, he's my friend, I'm going to stop him from doing that because I care about him. So if Canadians care about American citizens and Americans as friends, then say, don't use that weapon and do not provide it to that government. This is where the moral failure is in Canada. I've heard people say, well, you know, that we're against it, but they're the ones doing it. Well, I understand, yes. So say something. Do something. Join with others at the United Nations elsewhere. Anyway, that's why it's important people go to the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. Or what was the other group, Phil?
PeaceAndJusticeNetwork.ca.
Go to these sites, and they will tell you how to attend on Wednesday at 6 p.m. to hear Dimitri Lascaris and the spokesman of in Western Canada for a Ukrainian organization. People, by the way, try to treat Ukrainians as all of one opinion. I think that's an insult to Ukrainians. They have many opinions. One of our points that we make on the Taylor Report is that the president of Ukraine has stopped consulting Ukrainians. He's simply a powerful figure who talks to foreign powers. But if you really want to have the confidence of the people, you have to have elections. You have to not ban political parties. The major political opposition party has been banned. So that would tell you that all those Ukrainians who voted for the opposition party have been negated. Their voices count as well. So this tendency to say, well, we can summarize the views of Ukraine by reference to Zelensky, that would be completely inaccurate, not true. And that's why programs such as the Taylor Report, we point out to these other opinions, and also as a way to correct. I think we spoke of it, Phil, on the show last week. I can't remember. You know, you were at TIFF. You were at the International Film Festival. And Abraham Lincoln was leading. His party was, as you know, a radical party. It was called the Republicans. It was, had previously unknown in American politics. It had come into being in the 1850s. It was a very young party. He was elected president in 1860, and immediately the slave-owning, the states of the slaveocracy rebelled against him because he had said that he was not going to permit the expansion of slavery. He didn't say he was going to take slaves away. He said, we're going to stop expansion of slavery. And that was good enough from the slave owner's point of view to go to war. Now, the war lasted 4 years. He, in 1864, had to run for re-election. He's in the depths of a civil war where more than a half million Americans died fighting each other, and he held an election. And his principal opponent had been the commander of the Union forces at the beginning of the war. I don't know if you remember him.
Yes, Mr. McClellan.
Yeah,
yes.
Very nasty little piece of work, as they call him. Yeah. And McClellan, I mean, he wasn't a marginal candidate. He wasn't Bernie. He wasn't Cornel West. He wasn't Jill Stein. He was with the big parties, and they tried to defeat. But Lincoln didn't say, well, we're not going to have an election, or Mr. McClellan can't run. He could have said, look, I mean, you were the general. We fired you as a general. There's no way we're going to. You know, he could have hooked up an excuse to prevent McClellan from running. But that isn't the road he chose. He chose the road to put it to the American people. So all this rationalization and saying, oh, it's a democracy, we're fighting for democracy. No, it's a party. It's a country that banned the opposition. And, as we said on this show, stripped trade unions of their rights. 73% of the workers of Ukraine have had their union representation taken away. And while organized labor in Canada or the United States would say, that's nice, it was beyond me, what they ought to be saying is, why are we supporting somebody who would do that? Would it hurt you to restore the rights of workers? Apparently, you know, the philosophy is that it would. Again, it's the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5. I want to say that I keep track of the news on Eritrea and the Eritrean community, which has been subjected to attacks by an international formation based in Europe called the Death Brigade. It's called
the Death Brigade.
Well, the Death Brigade. Okay. The Toronto Star calls it a group or opponent. No, it's called the Death Brigade. It violates Canadian law by taking sticks and hitting people and because it says also it's going to do that. It tells the world it's going to do that. Now, they've just had another attack in Stuttgart where 200 people were injured. I don't know of any arrests, but we want to remind everybody that we are drowning in hypocrisy here, because a secret group, it is secret, but it's known. I mean, it isn't a public group. It doesn't have public meetings. It doesn't have a constitution. It doesn't have an identifiable leadership. Can go and smash meetings successfully. They caused the cancellation of a number of events in Canada, and there is no political party here that has found anything to say about that. We did have a brave Calgary police chief who said, we're going to charge people. Well, I told listeners a week ago, he said he's going to charge somebody. He has not charged anybody. 9 people went to hospital here because of an attack on August the 5th at Earls Court Park. No one has been charged. So I remind you, this is what a pogrom is. the original, this thing about wearing funny colored shirts, the original Black Hundreds that attacked Jews in Russia in the name of protecting the Tsar wore yellow shirts. They were the yellow shirts. Another name for them was the Black Hundreds. But their whole thing was, we're with the Tsar and we're going to crush people that we think are against the Tsar. And then they always noted the police liked them. The police let them do that. So we're in a situation where a group called the Death Brigade is attacking people in Canada, and we have no one here in authority lifting a finger. So when you talk about pogroms, or people like to talk about fascism, when it's going on, you ought to notice it. If you're not able to notice it, then you probably don't know what you're talking about. Go to at Eritrea, Canada, is a site to get more information. Go to teslanews.net. Stay informed. We'll keep talking about it on the Taylor Report.
I've been all over the world talking about Jesus. And I'm not ashamed. I want everybody in here tonight to put your hands together and go along with me while I tell you, if I had a hammer,
It's the Blind Boys of Alabama. I think there are many versions, but anyway, I like them all.
That was a pop song in the 1950s.
It became a pop song.
Yeah. We all knew it as kids.
It comes from Pete Seeger and Lee Hayes.
Yeah.
as always, with lovely, warm, progressive people, they argued forever about who wrote it. But anyway, the two of them were involved. And this was before they were, or after they were blacklisted. And then they came back. Pete's last big show was with Bruce Springsteen welcoming Obama, because he was going to bring peace and kindness to the world after he bombed Libya and killed Gaddafi, et cetera.
Yeah.
Hey, let's remind everybody, by the way, that we've had a disaster in Libya. This will be our last little note for the Taylor Report show, but Libya was the most prosperous economy in Africa. And then the United States, France, Canada decided they didn't like the leader. They killed him, destroyed the economy. And for years now, nobody's looked after highways, you know, basic services, and now they've had a disaster. So when Hillary said, "We came, we saw," he died. Well, yes, and the country died too. That's why we address this issue on the Taylor Report a lot, is a little less molesting of others and a little more charity would be welcome. This is the Taylor Report. Thanks to Phil Conlon, and I'm looking at all my names. Who's our friends?
Shay, Jenna, yes. And Emily.
Pardon me?
I gave them. That's okay.
Oh, you did it. Yeah. Okay. Well, the next show is
Tracks from Abroad, coming up next on
good.
CIUT 89.5 FM Toronto.
Thanks a lot. We'll be with you next week.